Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts College Football Podcast, your ticket to all things college football. Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? Join us as we talk college football from the national championship to college rivalries to bowl games to the Heisman Trophy to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12. ACC, and everything in between.
What is up? Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast on a Wednesday. My name is Tom Doherty, your host. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. This is the college football edition, and this is a big day in college football as Urban Meyer is going to be had his fate delivered. And we're going to find out about it momentarily here. It all is actually happening as I'm speaking right now, recording the show on a Wednesday morning in California. But I mean, out in Ohio, they started bright and early at 9 a.m. Eastern time, doing that the executive session of the Board of Trustees for Ohio State. And of course, the decision apparently was supposed to be just that of the Ohio State president, that was going to be Michael V. Drake, was going to make that decision. But now we're hearing reports that it's going to be a joint decision made by him and the other trustees who are bringing forward this the information that they grabbed from the they got from their probe or investigation, or however you want to spell it out. But that's going to be looking like they're going to do that. And actually, what surprised a lot of media members and surprised me a little spark on Twitter was the fact that Urban Meyer himself showed up to the Longaberger Alumni House, which was where the meeting is being held. And he showed up in a suit, and he wasn't expected to be there for this meeting, and he is there for the meeting. And we will definitely be, if anything breaks while I'm talking on the right now on the for the recording, I will be definitely bringing it forward, and we'll discuss it as well. Apparently, the investigation did end on Sunday, and then the board was briefed on the results of it for 3 hours on Monday, actually. And then, of course, today, Wednesday, we'll see a decision made whether Urban's going to be able to talk during the meeting, or if it's going to be some sort of deliberation situation or something like that. It remains to be seen. Of course, we know the three options. It's basically, you're fired, you're good, or you're suspended. And so basically, red light, green light, yellow light. So kind of good, bad, and the ugly, I guess. If you think a suspension is what he deserves, how many games should it be? If a suspension is too light and they give him one, are you going to be okay with watching him on the sidelines this year when he does return? What if he gets off scot-free? And unfortunately, What we found out, and what I found out in my own kind of digression of this matter, and looking at the different quotes and different investigations and reports that have been made by that I think it's the Stadium, was that outlet that that Courtney Smith used to get out a lot of her information when this all started, seemingly a month ago now. You can deliberate yourself. You can make your own kind of conclusions. And it sounds like that if Urban Meyer is not lying again, like he did on January. I mean, the thing is, the guy did lie. July 24th, he lied. He did. So that happened. But he did apologize for that. He came out with a letter that was long, and making it look like that he did not write the letter, but we're not here splitting hairs on who wrote the letter and who didn't. It was put together by a lot his their lawyers, and he signed it, and make a little PC remark saying that he failed on when he made his comments at the Big Ten media days. And then, of course, comes out and says that he did handle the incident in 2015 to protocol and to the way that he was expected to do, which then points at, if that's all true, and they still did an investigation in 2015, they still didn't talk to Courtney Smith in 2015, then that points fingers at Gene Smith and the athletic department as a whole, because Urban Meyer is not the athletic director. He's not the president of the university. He's the head football coach. There's multiple sports at that university. There's multiple things going around. Yes, why Zach Smith was still under his employment at that point, because yes, that's the one thing that Urban Meyer can be implemented on, and I think he should be, is the fact that he has hiring and firing power, and he had an incident with this coach back in 2009, almost a decade ago, at a different school. I mean, and of course, when you think about his time at that school, then you can even go further and say, oh, he had over 50 kids get arrested while he was there. Or I think it was maybe 30, maybe it was 35. It was a big number. Get arrested. I think it's 35 kids got arrested while he was a head coach at Florida. I mean, that's not saying he's not supposed to baby. He's not a babysitter either. That's the thing. So you could say all this stuff about Urban Meyer and what his track record is, but he's not a babysitter either. He's a football coach, and he's a darn good one. And you might see that the fact that his prowess and his record at Ohio State, I mean, what's he, 45-8 or something like that, and his time at 45-8, it's around there, 46-8 at Ohio State, and that might be the thing that keeps him around. I mean, if they really find in this investigation that it was a gray area, if there is any shred of a doubt in this situation, they aren't going to fire him. They're not going to fire him. If anything, they're going to suspend him, or they're going to just go above his head basically and take out the people who did not push forward the information that he gave to the officials, and saying, well, this is what happened again. Well, I mean, the thing is, if you're Ohio State and you hire a coach like Urban Meyer, you bring him over in 2011, he brings in Zach Smith, that's the question. Do they know? They should know about what happened in 2009. He was arrested. There was charges that were going to be pre-drawn up. And then, of course, Urban Meyer's, it was Zach Smith's grandfather, who was a coach at Ohio State, actually, and one of Urban Meyer's buddies. I don't know if it was a booster or something like that. And those were the ones who came and actually talked to Courtney Smith and got her to drop the charges. And whether it was Urban Meyer really having his fingers in there, or Zach Smith made a phone call to his grandfather and asked him to go on his behalf, and then coordination with Urban Meyer, then that goes. Whatever, that's that. That's a different incident. But when you're Ohio State and you're bringing both of those guys over, Urban, you've had issues with this coach. Do you really think he needs to come over here? He's a wide receivers coach. Yes, I do. You should have it. That's lack of oversight. That's just lack of oversight. You've had history in the past with this guy, Zach. It's a wide receivers coach. The fact that Urban Meyer, a legendary coach in this game, could be up in the ranks of Nick Saban and the best ever to coach at this level. And he's letting a wide receivers coach drag him down. It's just ridiculous. And of course, we're going to hear about what's transpiring in Columbus right now. Hopefully, in the matter of minutes, we're going to be hearing. We're getting media reports minute by minute here. I've got one from 22 minutes ago saying that this is expected to happen on today, according to two sources. This is supposed to be dropping today, whether it's going to be after the show, we'll have to pick it up on Friday. But we can always do this kind of commentary where we're talking about what is going to happen. What do we think is going to happen? We talked about the fact that if he did lie, and then of course comes back from that lie and makes amends, and then we'll move along. And he actually did everything correctly, then sure, fair enough. The one thing that kind of made me think that actually this all was going to happen after he did lie. I mean, he makes his statements on July 24th. Then we had a show and I talked about the things that Courtney Smith told his wife and the pictures that he showed his wife If that was all true, you think Shelley Meyer probably told her husband about it, and then he will address it. I mean, that's the thing. He will address it. Obviously, I think Zach Smith, when in his interview with ESPN, that was... I'm really having any comments for that, honestly. It was kind of ridiculous what that guy was saying. The guy's not the... I'm not really his... Definitely not a big fan of Zach Smith whatsoever. But, you know, it's interesting because he was saying that he was even in conversation with Urban about how to deal with this. And of course, Urban's like, I got a season of... I mean, if you're Urban Meyer, you're like, really, dude? Come on. Like, we've already had issues with this before. Now you're going to do it again for me? Like, I don't know. Like, when did the chances run out? Like, maybe Urban Meyer is a super generous dude who gives people too many chances. I don't know. His wife came and showed him the pictures from Courtney Smith, and he gets Zach Smith on the other side denying it. Who do you want to believe? Do you want to believe your wife, or do you want to believe this wide receivers coach that you've been around for, yes, a long time, but has had history? Blood was in the water. There was a past. Police don't just come and arrest you for no reason. If what Courtney Smith is saying, I mean, obviously, the truth can be... You could say something that's virtually true where you may paint the corners a little bit with some color, like the fact that he choked her up against the wall at one point, I mean, during one of their incidents. And yes, that probably could have happened and did happen. But the fact that she had to say that her kids were clinging to her legs underneath her while he was doing it, like, that just seems a little like, really. I'm not saying it's false, but just it does put a little asterisk on there. Like, that wasn't good enough that he was choking you against the wall, and now you're going to say all that stuff. It's very muddled and very difficult for a guy who's there to coach. He's there to coach football. He's not there to police staffers and Zach Smith, who apparently now we've had even more reports out that he's done unspeakable things, not involving violence, but just not good stuff at the program, and he probably should have been out of there way a long time ago. If that's anything, if Urban Meyer's at fault for anything, it's not getting rid of this dude way long time ago. If it wasn't in 2009, if it wasn't maybe when he, or yeah, 2009, and then of course that's just 2 years later is when he gets, when they all get transitioned over to Ohio State. So I mean, maybe that's where you should be. He made a mistake, is bringing him with him to Ohio State. I don't understand that, and it's difficult to kind of fathom. Like, okay, why would you do that? Why, like, really? Why are you making? I keep asking myself the same question. Why would a coach of this caliber let a wide receivers coach who obviously has problems when it comes to his motivations? I don't know how to articulate this, but you know. He's got problems. Zach Smith does. And you're letting in Urban Meyer, who's been around for a long time, I'm sure has been around plenty of coaches that have a little quirkiness. And Zach Smith, you couldn't identify that? Like, that's the one thing I'm just really questioning about. Like, why did you keep him around for so long? Like, they're reporting it, they're moving it, they're doing your job and reporting the domestic violence and getting the, whether you got the information from your wife or Zach Smith tried to get you to cover it up, or you didn't want to deal with it, or you actually did pass it on and Gene Smith was the one that covered it up, or it's a whole systematic cover up for the whole program, which would be bad, worse probably, because that means you have more, it's not just one bad apple, which is what you always kind of hope, and you extract the bad apple. It's a bad tree. It's a rotten tree. If you want to continue with the apple tree analogy there, instead of one bad apple or two bad apples, it would be with Zach Smith being the one. You got the whole tree rotten, and that could very well be true. And the fact that I don't know what Urban Meyer showing up to this meeting means and what the optics of it look like. Maybe he's trying to just get out in front of it. Maybe he's trying to put pressure on him and say, hey, I'm not taking this lightly. This is a big deal, and I can't lose this job. I don't know. He's at the mercy of this panel, apparently, because President Drake was reportedly supposed to make the decision himself. But then now we're getting – I got a tweet from probably an hour ago or two saying that from a source who is in Columbus right now, but and saying that he will be making the decision along with the other trustees, so in conjunction as well. So, of course, this announcement on the status will be announced today, whether it's going to be announced this morning or later this afternoon. We'll have to get to that as we go along. All right. Everybody have a everybody having a good start to the show. Here we are. We're doing all right as we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this probably as we go along here. As well as a little lighter side of this sport, we have some preseason All-Americans to get to. As we'll try and determine who is actually going to live up to that title right there to be a preseason All-American. Then actually we'll see maybe if there's any who will be All-Americans at the end of the season as well. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition. As we're going to go, well, I mean, you got to love, college football, I mean, you're going to love it, but you just got to like the fact that everything is so fast-paced these days, especially with Twitter and just 24-hour news cycle, everything that goes along here and how quick everything can go. And I'm getting alerts on my phone right here as I'm talking, and it's great because I can update the show, and I know this isn't a live show, so you guys can listen to it whenever you want. And if you want to listen to it after the press conference or not, or before, hopefully, we'll just hear my comments about it as it goes along. And of course, maybe it'll prompt you to listen to the show if you hear about what's going on at Ohio State. And I'm getting reports. Apparently, they're sitting up a press conference at that very that alumni house that I was talking about in the previous segment, where they're actually having the meeting. They're setting up a press conference to be held after the meeting is over. No timetable on how long the meeting is going to take or when we're going to actually get that press conference. But Urban Meyer is there, so whether he's going to get told right to his face, like, hey, you're done, buddy, or hey, you need to sit on the sidelines for half a season or so, that's the one question. If they do suspend him, which honestly I don't know, I've had a lot of thought about this. It's tough. I think it's more systematic. I don't think he should be the scapegoat. I don't think he deserves to be fired, but a suspension would not be bad. A suspension would be understandable. I think a suspension would be a measured response from this university that probably should look further into themselves even more and as other individuals. I mean, apparently this was a whole probe into their athletic department. That's what has been reported as well. Whether it was just the football program itself or the whole upper echelon of the athletic director's office and everything was also investigated, then we'll see some more stuff come out of this where Gene Smith might get called out on the carpet and have his job in question along, like, you know, Urban Meyer. He's been dragged through the mud for the last month, basically, and now we're finally going to get a report. We haven't really seen Gene Smith's name anywhere, and I think that he honestly is maybe the most culpable of any of the people here, other than the fact that, yes, Zach Smith should have been fired back in 2009 or should never have been brought to Ohio State with Urban Meyer. He's a wide receivers coach. That's the one, like, The one thing that I don't know if we'll have an answer for it. I would love to ask our admirer about it. I bet you he has been asked about it or has been tried to be asked about it and probably has had no comment. I'm sure there's lots of media people out there who have been really begging the question because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, a wide receivers coach, maybe you thought the guy was changed, a changed man. He's trying to prove to you you're a really likable. If he's a really likable guy, I don't know if it's a situation where he's trying to give the guy a second chance and he's basically lying to Urban's face. I mean, there has been more reports out. I don't know if you guys have ESPN alerts on your phone or if you saw anything else about Zach Smith since this investigation started. Yeah, it's not good. Not good. That's not a very good character traits by that guy. So he's trying to tell Urban what he wanted to hear so he can keep a job or whatever it was, or maybe Urban's just too generous to keep him around, and that's what he gets for keeping him around. That's what you get for being too nice sometimes, keeping a guy around instead of just getting rid of him back into it. Because you really need cause to fire a wide receivers coach? You weren't getting my receivers ready enough. I mean, come on. How good are the... They've had two receivers come out of Ohio State that's really been maybe one. Michael Thomas has been the one. Honestly, that's who I want to talk to about this. If I was an NFL reporter or if I was a reporter around, I'd go talk to Michael Thomas because he's an NFL player. He's very protected. He's a good NFL player, which means he's more protected and has probably a little bit more... he probably has ability to speak out. Whether he would actually speak on the matter is a question. I don't actually think he would, but because he's a smart guy. But you know, you never know. You can get something out of a guy, and you can find out some information about maybe why Urban Meyer kept Zach Smith around so much. Because I mean, Michael Smith was at Ohio State. I think he graduated. He left there in 2013. Or Michael Smith, Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas had a this is. He was there. Obviously, he was Ohio State. Let's see what time, how long was he there for. So 2016. So he actually was there. Yeah. So he's been only 2 years. So in the NFL, maybe not as protected as I think then. But no, he's been there the whole time. He was recruited by Urban Meyer. Actually, Urban got him from Woodland Hills. Wow, California. But you know, this is a guy who's been a good recruiter for a while, but you know, this is started in 2012. So that's like the second season for Urban. So, yep. We're going to figure it out. Obviously, Zach Smith's gone. I mean, he can go do his little media. I mean, obviously he got his little 15 seconds of fame when he, for some reason, got an interview with ESPN. That was the weirdest thing ever. Why he was given an interview. If you're ESPN, do you really think him to tell the truth? Like, the guy's he's a freaking weirdo. Like, he's got something wrong, or he just has a weird personality. He's a weird dude. And you let him go and spew whatever he was spewing during that interview, and it was just not great television. It wasn't great journalistic work either. So, I mean, all the White House stuff. You guys hear about that? Come on, please tell me you heard about what all the stuff coming out about Zach Smith and what he did at the White House when they were there celebrating a national championship. So, yeah, it's crazy, very crazy. I mean, apparently, I'm getting more reports out from yesterday. From 24/7 Sports saying investigators did know about his sexual encounter, whether it was so it says Ohio State officials knew of Brett McMurphy's report on Zach Smith's sexual history and encounter with football department employees. So yeah, this is a guy who's it's not just domestic violence, he's also like been sexually active with employees in the department. I mean, that's not like there's nothing against the law, but then I have some codes against that. I mean, this is still goes right back to the question we just talked about 2 minutes ago. Why is he still around? Why is he still around? Why is he still around? Like, I cannot keep asking that. Like, why after 2009? Okay, that happened. Okay, so you have two buffer years. And then you go to Ohio, then you have to make another decision whether you're going to take the guy to Ohio State or not. Okay, you make to say yes to that for I guess in the 2 years since then, maybe Urban was shown that by Zach Smith that he could be a human being, an adult, and an actual citizen in our world here that acts correctly. And then he brought him to Ohio State, and he proved him wrong again. I mean, it's taken him a few years, but the thing is, I'm sure all of these acts he's been doing have lasted over the whole time he was at Ohio State. So, I mean, apparently an unnamed witness told the newspaper that the results of the investigation to the Board of Trustees on Monday were extremely thorough, and did touch on several intricacies of the missteps in Columbus. So apparently, this is all from 247sports.com. Want to give them their due diligence there as they're reporting on this. But, you know, this is they're saying that this was extremely thorough. Several witnesses spoke to the Columbus Dispatch reporting as well. So, I mean, the Dispatch did say that they had witnesses come out and say a bunch of stuff that that basically is going to make or break Urban Meyer's job. The one witness said, it seems like, quote, it seems like they've turned over pretty much every rock you could think of. Their attention to detail was impressive. Yeah, because they need to, they basically are so much in the public eye right now. 2015, they weren't in the public eye. Nobody really knew. I mean, I'm sure there were media reports about what happened, but it was never in this, at this scale. 2015, that was before the national championship. It was right after the national championship. So everybody was on a high there, up there. It was all about the Cardale Jones and winning the national championship and everything like that. Was Zeke Elliott on that team? Yeah, Zeke on that team and everything, win the national championship was a big deal. And then, of course, that happens, and we have Courtney Smith report that the 2015 incident happened, and then she doesn't even get talked to by the university during their investigation of it. Yeah, I think some people got talked to now. They're going to go their second. This is their second chance 3 years later to make right on this, or at least try to make right on this. And they're going to overturn every pebble, every quarter on the ground. Like, they're going to look under everything. I mean, and you think they would, because this is a situation that's pretty convoluted. It's not just Urban Meyer. It's his wife. It's a coach. It's his coach's wife. It's more staffers in the university. It's the AD. It's possibly staff within the AD's office. It's very convoluted. And of course, right now, it's all circling around one guy, even though Gene Smith might be just hiding under a rock waiting for it to come to him. I mean, if you're Gene Smith, how do you, the AD at Ohio State, how do you go to sleep at night knowing that, Urban Meyer is getting his name just dragged through the coals when you probably could have done a lot more than he could have to help this problem and to help Courtney Smith, if indeed, well, I mean, of course, we have to qualify and say, if indeed she's telling the truth. I mean, of course, I don't want to say she's not making it up. I don't want to say she is making it up, because it's hard to determine. We just had a situation with Reuben Foster almost going to jail for doing something he didn't do, apparently. He's in the NFL now, so he didn't go to Ohio State. He went to Alabama. But I mean, that was a weird situation where the girlfriend had pictures of bruises. Courtney Smith had pictures of bruises. She goes to the police, tells apparently a false statement. And he gets arrested. Everything goes down the pike. And then we're all wondering, why aren't the Niners cutting him? He got arrested because they did their own investigation probably and found out that she was lying. And then she finally goes and testifies in court that she was lying, recants her whole statement. They have a video of her fighting another girl and that proves where she got her bruises from. Whether that was, there's no timestamp or anything in the video. That's where it kind of gets kind of suspect, where you're like, but you know, this is a scenario where just stuff happens and you have people can accuse people of things, but Zach Smith has a history. There is a police report. There are charges that were drawn up. They never got pressed initially. or a mention at the end, but they were gonna be. It took people to be to talk her down to not press charges, and that's kind of weird. And I don't like when that happens. And it makes it seem really, really dirty. Just kind of a dirty. Like, you have to tell somebody, basically scare tactics, hey, honey, you shouldn't do this. It's going to ruin your life. Like, is it? Or is he going to send a guy to jail or at least teach him a lesson that he deserves, that he really needs? Maybe look, make the football program look bad. Sorry. But you know what he did? I mean, one of the incidents, he, like I told you, he came home from work with, or came home from a night out with a girl who apparently broke up with her boyfriend and brought her to his house with his kids and his wife at the house, and she needed a place to stay. The wife said no, because that's crazy. That's a person that you probably are in trying to get at or something like that, and you're bringing her to our own house, and I'm going to drive her home. And she did, and when she came back, he got violent, and that's pretty straightforward right there. I mean, it's hard to fathom, but I mean, it is what it is going into this. And of course, Urban Meyer now feeling the brunt of it because of his either lack of compliance or just bad, I mean, faulty statements by other people saying that he didn't do enough and when he really did. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. We'll come back after the break. We're going to continue a little bit more on this as we hear more and more reports coming out from Columbus as we speak. I'm getting tweets left and right as we're going to be hearing about this press conference. Apparently, it's being set up, and then we're going to go over the All-Americans. Actually, we probably should do the All-Americans this next segment, and then we'll come back and maybe go back to Urban Meyer in the last segment. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast on a Wednesday. Today here is the day that will determine the fate of Urban Meyer at Ohio State. As I'm getting more reports out, I mean, he did. I mean, you would expect this, but I mean, officially getting reports now that there were multiple conversations between investigators and Urban Meyer and between investigators and Gene Smith himself. So that's a... it's a good sign to see that they definitely won't. I mean, you'd think that they would do that. And this is actually, so what the way that worked is they had those six investigators. You had the three that were not part of the university and three that are part of the university. They investigated it. And then you have the 20-person board of trustee panel along with President Drake of the president of the university. So that's what it's going to come down to, whether, like we said, all the information was found out and uncovered and unearthed by these investigators and then presented in front of this. I mean, they presented it 2 days ago. So now they're in executive session and actually I love Twitter. It is fun. I just had to say, because there's people all over the place. There literally are reporters surrounding that house there on the campus, and it's great because you have a lot of coverage, but it's also can be tough, difficult to sort it all out. But with college football, you have a lot of grassroots reporters and these dedicated Twitter accounts are dedicated reporting to just Ohio State football. There's one called actually 11warriors.com, which actually is a pretty good. I've used them a couple different times. A pretty good source. You want to check them out. It's actually the number. It's at the number 1111. So it's at 11W on Twitter, and then 11warriors.com spelled out all in words. So if you want to check that out, they have a lot of different stuff regarding Urban Meyer and his future at Ohio State and whether and all this stuff like that. So, I mean, apparently we do have a report from the Columbus Dispatch. This is Bill Rabinowitz. Bill Rabinowitz of the Columbus Dispatch did say the source of this was talking about, this is talking about Urban Meyer at meeting and Gene Smith each meeting with the investigators. He said that the source would not detail the timing of those meetings, but said the investigation led by former Securities and Exchange Commission head Mary Jo White was very thorough, down the middle, and by the book. The source said that steady communication has been the side's legal team between the sides. The legal team has continued. So obviously, Gene Smith has his legal team, or if it's the same one with Urban Meyer, whatever it is, they're definitely in constant communication and steady communication is the word they're using with the investigators. Of course, you have some names. I mean, that's the former. This investigation was led by the former Securities and Exchange SEC head. So she's not used to. I mean, I don't know. She's used to investigating this kind of stuff, but she's definitely used to investigating some stuff that can be very convoluted and difficult to uncover. Those stockbrokers at Wall Street, they know how to hide their tracks. I mean, did you watch Wolf of Wall Street? It was pretty obvious what he was doing, and what he was doing was illegal, but the fact that it's all very difficult to track down and actually pin him down and get him and get evidence against him, and that's kind of the same thing that they're gonna have to do, I guess, with this investigation. If it's not, obviously there's nothing criminal going on here. It's basically finding a cause to fire him if they were gonna do it, or finding a settlement, because that's what they said. They're gonna either be it's compensation, reinstatement, or suspension, or just a straight firing, I guess, if they really can find that he was in breach of his morals clause of the contract, of Urban Meyer's contract. So, I mean, if we want to talk about, we talked about DJ Durkin on Monday and his morals clause, and that's like, that's pretty obvious that he was in violation of it. Maybe the University of Maryland will be free for, I think it was like $6.5 million or something like that for the buyout. For DJ Durkin or something like that, it could be off the hook for that if they really. I mean, I think they could definitely make a case for the fact that he violated his morals clause. Now, Urban Meyer didn't, because Urban Meyer didn't specifically do anything that would say that he didn't. I mean, I bet you we read the language actually of the morals clause in DJ Durkin's contract back on Monday. I bet you it's very, very similar to the one that Urban Meyer has. And Urban didn't do any of that. He didn't specifically, personally do any of that kind of stuff himself. DJ Durkin did. He got in the faces of kids. He got degrading language. He was not the spirit of the program. Well, I forgot what the exact language exactly was. But, you know, basically, don't be a bad human. Just don't be a bad guy. Just don't be a bad person. I mean, be a motivator, be a mentor, be a role model, be all those things. You can have bad days. You can get angry. You can get in the face of the kids. You can say swear words. You can do all that. It's part of the game, but you can't degrade them. You can't strip them of their masculine or whatever, humanity in general, and also push them to the edges of life or past that, which, I mean, that's kind of what we're based off of here, though. Jordan McNair situation, but you know, it's that and more, which is the problem at Maryland, and which is why DJ Durkin violated his morals clause. Ohio State, different story. You have Urban Meyer, you could read it again, probably did not violate his morals clause, and that's why you have this situation where it's either going to be a suspension, they're going to have some sort of to figure out compensation, that's why maybe they're still deliberating, or reinstatement. So, I mean, if you reinstate him, it's quick. Okay, we're fine with the... after the findings of this investigation, we find that Meyer was not culpable in this, and he we're going to reinstate him as head coach. Okay, there, done. You made the decision. However, if that's not the decision you made, you have two decisions, actually. So everything else is twofold. You fire him, you got to decide, okay, how much, and what's the buyout? There's your second decision. Actually, that one requires three because you got to find a new head coach, too. Bob Stoops is on the line. But, you know, then you have option number three where you suspend him. And then, of course, the question after that is how long do you suspend him for? And then, of course, that's that goes without saying. So you can take that with a grain of salt if you like. I mean, that's just it's not the best thing to talk about, but it's a high profile head coach. It's a juicy story from a big program. It's nothing we like to. Domestic violence is unexcusable in any sense of the word. But of course, Zach Smith was the one that is really the bad guy here, and he's out of a job. He should have been out of a job a long time ago. That's what I'm telling you. If there's one thing that Urban Meyer was at fault, if he's at fault of nothing else, the one thing that we know he's at fault of, and that's keeping Zach Smith around for as long as he did, and I have no idea why. Just no idea. All right, let's get to the let's get to the All-Americans. We need some positive. We'll talk about actual football. Enough of these coaches. So preseason All-Americans. This is actually an interesting little team here. I love it, honestly. I love it. Everything I'm seeing here because Will Grier is your preseason All-American quarterback, and I love it because I think Will Grier will be top two, or maybe I think there's the thing is there's like a handful of guys: Trace McSorley, Tua Tagovailoa, assuming he starts. Well, I was going to say Kelly Bryant or you could put Kelly Bryant slash Trevor Lawrence, because honestly, I think both of them will be fine. Maybe Kelly. I mean, there's upsides and downsides to both. Kelly might not have the ceiling that Trevor Lawrence has, but he has the experience that he doesn't have. That's the one thing. So you could put them both there, along with Justin Herbert, definitely, at Oregon. That guy is going to be a stud. And then, Jake Browning. Jake had a great sophomore year, took his team to the College Football Playoff, got beat up against Alabama. He's a great kid, has a great high school career. I mean, look up the stats in California. They're very difficult to break. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that have played in California. JT Daniels. JT Daniels. Did you break Jake Browning's records? Actually, did he break Jake Browning's records? Or are they different because Jake went to a private school? Or Jake went to Folsom High School, like I did, and a public school versus modern day being private. Maybe the records are different, but I think it's a California state record. So, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to think they separate them like that. Continuing my handful. So we had Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, assuming he starts, Clemson, whatever their quarterback situation is, Trace McSorley, and Will Grier as your guy, as really your quarterbacks this year, thinking about, okay, one's the returners slash, you know, guys that are going to be probably getting the job that they deserve. That's why I'm putting that out. So right now we're looking at it. Speaking of Folsom High School alumni, there is a Folsom High School alumni on this All-America list, and we'll get to that in a minute. Will Grier, loving what I'm seeing from West Virginia. He's got a clear head. They got a high-powered offense. Daniel Holgorsen wants to go fast. He wants to go far. He wants to throw the ball far. He's got a big quarterback to do it with, and everything should be looking up right there. I mean, five quarterbacks were taken in the NFL draft last year, but I mean, quarterback turnover is so crazy. But the thing is, actually, I was thinking about this yesterday, because you think about it, in the NFL, all the teams that needed quarterbacks last year got one. Maybe the Denver Broncos. I think the one team that is maybe that may still need a quarterback after the season is the Denver Broncos. I'm not sure. I'm not all in on Case Keenum. I'm not. But everybody else. The Cardinals got Josh Rosen. The Bills got Josh Allen. The Jets got Sam Darnold. The Ravens didn't really need a quarterback. They have Joe Flacco, but they got Lamar Jackson, and of course the Browns with Baker Mayfield. And if actually you have not watched Hard Knocks, I got to hand it to Baker. He's a pretty cool guy, and I know he had a lot of different pundits. Colin Cowherd had his comments about it, and of course he goes on Colin's show and goes right in his face and makes Colin actually realize how cool of a guy he is. But you know that it is what it is. And then, of course, you have Hard Knocks to watch, and then you have the Instagram, Cleveland Browns Instagram. If you have watched any of Hard Knocks, you know John Dorsey is quite a character, the GM of the Browns, and how the way his demeanor and his sweaters and everything. And watch Baker Mayfield's John Dorsey impersonation; it's pretty freaking good. But you know, so that's my little tangent there. So, but Will Grier, I mean, I'm not really worried about him. We can talk about draft stock for Will Grier throughout the season, but as far as outlook, the Big 12 is up for grabs, buddy. Go get it. Go get the Big 12. All right, we'll come back after the break and finish off this All-American list for you, as I've been ranting too much about random different things. And we'll come back after the break and finish it off with the last segment. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast on a Wednesday today. As I don't know if we're going to get this Urban Meyer decision before the show's over, so I guess we'll have to talk about it on Friday. I mean, they got lunch about an hour ago, and that would have been, if I could do math correctly, that would have been probably almost like 11 o'clock. If not before that, actually. So it's an early working lunch, but I'm sure it'll happen today. You guys are going to find out. We'll do our comments on it on Friday. So, I mean, I've had enough comments, but of course it all boils down to two things, actually. There's two separate things, I think. It's going to be, what did the investigation find? Who is at fault? That's one. And then the second one is still, why? Why is this even happening? Why is Zach Smith at Ohio State? Why is Zach Smith get to go to transition over after that thing in Florida? Why didn't he get fired after that happened in 2015? That's all probably going to get figured out, honestly. Maybe not the whole transition part of it, but why didn't he get fired in 2015? And if that's really what's going to come down to it, then I think Gene Smith might have an issue with what they find out with it when it comes to him. Obviously, they had multiple conversations. The fact that you don't like getting interviewed once. They got interviewed like three or four times, multiple times. Could mean obviously only two, but you know, they had multiple conversations with those investigators, which means they talked to one guy, then they talked to the next guy, and may have heard something, maybe not exactly the same or a little different, so they brought the first guy back in. Then he said, we talked to him, and he said this. Okay, here's my response to that. Then they bring the second guy back in again, and he's like, okay, well, we talked to him twice, and we told him what you said, and now here's what he said in response to that, and what do you have to say for yourself about that kind of thing? And, you know, that, if that's what happened, then we're going to get, like I said, it's going to be very thorough. That's the word I've been seeing everywhere. Thorough. A thorough investigation, unturning every rock and every penny, every quarter on the ground, unturning it to see what's on the other side there. But, you know, it is what it is. We're going to find it out hopefully soon here. All right. So continuing on with your All-Americans, you have Will Grier as your quarterback. Your two running backs are, surprise, surprise, Bryce Love and Jonathan Taylor. Those are your two top guys, at least from last year. We'll see if there's anybody kind of pop off into the scene this year. I'm thinking the Harris down in Alabama will have something to say about it as well. But you got some jobs that opened up. Last year we had five quarterbacks go, which means there were five quarterback jobs opened up, obviously, around the country of multiple, more than just that. But we also had, six top-tier running backs go. Ronald Jones, so USC's going to have an open spot. So is Oregon. So is Auburn. So is Georgia. Well, they have DeAndre Swift, actually. So, I mean, at least we already know who's going to be replacing Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. But, yeah, so you have different options. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do in San Diego State. I mean, Rashad Penny kind of was a dime a dozen for them, I think. Definitely a diamond in the rough. Then he goes and breaks his hand in a training camp. But, he'll be back. Not worried about him. And then I'm trying to think, was that it? Kerryon Johnson, it's Auburn. Yeah, I think that was it. Or obviously Penn State. They have to figure it out, too, because no more Saquon. Oh, Saquon, what's going to happen with Saquon this year? That's really what I want to see. All right, so Bryce Love and Jonathan Taylor, these are your two guys. I mean, if anything, this is a year where we can see another running back win a Heisman, and it might be either of these guys. They both play on teams Wisconsin. I'm not that high on Wisconsin. I've never been that high on Wisconsin because they just continue to underwhelm. And they go undefeated last year. Oh, my God, they're undefeated. Then they still lose to Ohio State. Oh, okay. Your undefeated season just went just in one game. I'm going to do it again. Yeah, bad fart noises on the radio. It sounds really good, doesn't it? But, it did. Boop, just boop, done. You went undefeated. Oh, you lose. It all comes down to one game, usually, especially if you get an easy bleep schedule. I mean, if you get an easy schedule, it all comes down to one game, because you're probably going to win that division. The Big Ten West is not that difficult to make. The thing is, you have Stanford, where they have the talent. They don't have quite the schedule because they play Notre Dame every year. They play USC every year. Those tough teams, no matter how hot up or down they are, it's going to be a tough game. And they play in the Pac-12 North that has two teams that could be very good this year in Oregon and Washington. Washington State, I think, will be down. Luke Falk is gone. But Oregon with Justin Herbert, that team could be right back where they were when Chip Kelly was at the helm with Marcus Mariota. And then obviously in Washington, you have Jakey Jake and Myles Gaskin. So you can take that for what is up there and have fun, because, I mean, Bryce Love, it's all about health. You saw what he did. He was on one leg last year, and he did what he did last year, coming in and out of the game. Only every few snaps, he'd go back in. I don't know. I mean, David Shaw, honestly, is the perfect coach to have, because he's not gonna overwork him. He's not gonna start him off too fast. But when he does see that when Bryce goes up and say, "Coach, I'm good, I'm ready," he'll let him loose. He'll let him loose, and he'll let him run. He'll let him run, and then he'll pop you with a screen pass. And then when you want to blitz, he'll pop you with another screen pass, or he'll play action, or he'll do whatever. And that works. And they'll play, and their whole offense is basically played off of that one play, off of their running back. And then when you can do that, if you have a good offensive line, which they usually do at Stanford, and you have a top tier running back like that, you can literally let that run your offense. You run the ball, you run play action, screen passes. Maybe a quick drop back, or a draw play, or something like that. You get the defense off its base. So establishing the run is one of the most paramount things in football. And Bryce Love, and then also obviously Jonathan Taylor, can do that. I think that KJ Costello has a little bit more ceiling, capabilities than Blake Martinez is it Blake Martinez or Alex Martinez, or no, Alex Hornibrook? Sorry, Blake Martinez is old Michigan, or old Wisconsin, but no. Alex Hornibrook could do at Wisconsin. So, I mean, I think that maybe Stanford, I'm not really going to compare these two teams, even though, yes, they're pretty similar. They've been kind of underwhelming. They end up losing one game. Stanford, they lost their game at the beginning of the year last year. And then, of course, they ended up the rough end of the year as well. But, when you play all those extra games, 9-5, you played 14 games in the season. You played two extra games. So you played you played your Pac-12 championship game, lost, and you lost in their bowl game. They didn't play the Sun Bowl again. They won the Sun Bowl, but they, whatever it was. I can't remember the game that they played last year against TCU, but you know, it is what it is. And we're still need to finish up this this All American list. All right, so your wide receiver is actually, so we have another West Virginia Mountaineer. So you have a guy that is going to be, I'm sure, the number one guy for Will Grier. That's David Sills the fifth, as he actually was a as a 13-year-old, he committed to USC. But then, of course, found a obviously winding path from there, and he found a fit in West Virginia, and he finished 20 yards short last year of a 1,000-yard season, and he had also 18 touchdowns. So I think him and Will Grier getting on even more camaraderie together is even better. And, you know, receivers and quarterbacks, the more familiarity, the better. A.J. Brown is your other All-American receiver from Ole Miss, as obviously Shea Patterson was a good thing for him, but then no more Shea Patterson as he transfers and is at Michigan. But I'm sure a talented receiver will find his way to get his due there. Tight end, you have Noah Font. No surprise at Iowa. He's definitely the top tight end in the league. We talked about guys probably for next year's draft. He's going to be up there for a tight end. Obviously, he's didn't have more than – nobody had more touchdowns than him last year tight end position. He had 11 and had 30 catches for almost 500 yards. So that's pretty good in a league. And tight ends aren't used nearly as much in college as they are in the NFL. And he definitely made a pretty good impression last year, and is now a preseason All-American. All right, offensive line. So the tackle, one of the tackles is actually Jonah Williams. He's at Alabama. He went to Folsom High School here in California. Got to see him play a bunch. It was pretty cool. He was he was part of that big wave that kind of went and did big things after the national championship game. Or actually not national championship, but after the state championship we won, Folsom High School won in California. Jake goes to Washington. He goes to Alabama. We had a kid go to Duke. We had a kid go to Arizona. It was all over the place. We had a kid go to Harvard. I mean, for football, yeah. For football. We had a kid go to Cornell. I mean, I can go up Boise State, all sorts of places. For football, after that team, was pretty darn good. We had a kid, I think Josiah went to Cincinnati. Yeah, so there you go. All right, next up is Wisconsin's guard. Wow, these are some last names right here. So actually, the whole offensive line, you have two Badgers and two Alabama players. So you have Jonah Williams, and this is Bo Ben Schweil. Wait, hold on. Ben Schweil, Benzschawel. Benchel? Bo Benchel. I don't know. Somebody pronounce it for me, and I'll pronounce it right the next time, I promise. But I just need to hear somebody say it for me. As he's the offensive guard there for Wisconsin, started 36 games already for them, all 14 of them at right guard last season. As he will be a big part of that line. Then you have another one, Ross Pierschbacher. That's a little easier to pronounce. Ross Pierschbacher there at Alabama. He's a center for Alabama. After three seasons at guard, he's going to be moving to center this year, and has definitely shown a lot of talent and versatility as well. I mean, when you're a guard, you pull a lot, you run. Center, you're running the blocking scheme. So actually, he'll be just fine moving over there, as Alabama did rank third best in the country with 8.2 yards per carry with their running game. The other offensive guard is Michael Dieter from Wisconsin, as he did start all 14 games last year at left tackle. And then you have he actually moved inside, and for 2018 was better for him. And then your other offensive tackle is Dalton Risner from Kansas State, as he did earn All-America status from many different outlets after last season as well. The AP, which is, I guess, maybe like a all position or any position, Debo Samuel at South Carolina. He's pretty darn good, as he's going to be he had an explosive campaign back in 2016. Did have that injury last year with a broken leg, but he'll look to definitely get back and be in that special teamer, whether it's a kick returns, punt returns, whatever you're going to do. All right, let's run through the defense really quick. Clear, it's full of Clemson Tigers. As we'll start with the first two, defensive end Cleland Farrell, also from Clemson, and is Christian Wilkins. So two guys, and it's really Christian Wilkins coming back to stay with Cleland Farrell, and you're probably going to hear Dexter Lawrence's name too. If you're not, I'm saying it now. But you know, so that's there you go. I think actually he's not there because Ed Oliver's there, and then Nick Bosa takes that other DN. So don't sleep on Dexter Lawrence. But Cleland Farrell and Christian Wilkins are two big guys, and Clemson. Dexter Lawrence is the other guy. He's just not, couldn't make on this list because Ed Oliver is very, very good as well, and so is Nick Bosa. As they make these, they round out the front four for the All America list, and then you have your linebackers are Devin White from LSU and TJ Edwards from Wisconsin, and as well as Devin Bush from Michigan. And then your secondary is going to be Daquan Johnson from Miami, Taylor Rapp, a safety from Washington. And then the cornerbacks, Levante Taylor from Florida State, I mean, and Greedy Williams from LSU, which actually it's funny because all those schools, literally Michigan, Miami, actually Taylor Rapp's from Washington, but Florida State and LSU all deem themselves DBU. Like, who's the real DBU? Like, defensive back university that produces the best defensive backs in the NFL. I mean, if you want to think about it, there obviously are good ones everywhere, but yeah, you know, you think about Jalen Ramsey. He went to Florida State. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. I think Xavier Rhodes. Let me check where he went. It's going to bother me. It's bothering me if I don't find out where he went. Watch it be none of those ones that I'm worried about. Why can't I spell? He went to, where'd he go? Florida State. I'm not surprised. So he went to Florida State too. And, well, hold on. Let's think of one more corner that's shut down. Josh Norman. Well, did he go to a big, I don't know if he went to a big college actually. He's been in the league a bit longer. And he went to Coastal Carolina. So that's a little different. All right. Over time here, as we'll come back on Friday. Everybody have a good middle of your week. Happy Wednesday. We'll be hearing about Urban Meyer. You guys will have I'll definitely have my reaction for you guys on Friday. So talk to you guys later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.